Okay, so as we said before we went for the break, that today we'll be doing part six of the series that we have been covering all about public speaking. And Mufti Saab has shared with us some very enlightening and some very informative information that can definitely benefit us. One is getting the information, sitting and listening to the program, but then we need to put it to practice if we actually want to benefit. And that is obviously the whole objective of it. Mufti Saab, moving on to part six for today, let's start off with this question. How should be the, what should be the position of your hands when speaking? Do you keep it in your pocket? Do you hold it behind your back? Do you hold it on your hips? Do you in front of you make a whole lot of movements? What do you do with your hands?
Yes, I think this is an important thing. In the main, keep them empty and still as your natural position. Your hands do not have to have a separate identity. They are part of your arms. And in general, only need to move if you're making a gesture and should only hold your confidence card or the mic or a pointer. So the natural position is to keep your hands one over the other, slightly away from your body at the level of your tummy. That is, for many of us, you know, it's actually close to the position of your salah, but just away from your body. So now, what you shouldn't be doing is fiddling with rings, watches, cufflinks, buttons, pens, elastic bands, paper clips, with your glasses, keep adjusting it, or your fingernails, in touching and patting your face or hair or pocket or desk or table, or clutching back on the chair or the lectern, or scratching body parts, or hiding your hands behind your back, as you spoke about, Mulana, or on the lap, or pointing at the audience or ringing in despair. You know, those are the things that one should avoid. What you need to understand is that vitality is shown with your gestures. And remember, your arms begin at your shoulders. So always use your entire arm. Not only do you want to capture immediately the attention of your audience with your words and a voice, you also want to show sincerity with your gestures and your body movement. We use our arm gestures to emphasize a point. We indicate a place. We can express an idea or size. So always make sure your gestures from above your waist, gestures made below the waist, tend to look less professional and lazier than those at the level of the waist. And in a small venue, your gestures will be small, whilst in a larger venue, where hundreds of people, you should be, you know, go bigger with your gestures. What should you do with your arms when you're not using them? Keep your hands empty and slightly in front of your body, in line with your navel, you know, as we indicated. Now, the question then is with regards to our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used hand movements or gestures to facilitate better understanding. Sometimes he pointed his fingers or hands. Sometimes he raised two fingers together. Sometimes he interlocked his fingers. And sometimes he pointed towards the sky. Sometimes he held his tongue. Sometimes he covered his mouth. And sometimes he spread out his entire hand. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam often used his hands to illustrate a point, but not vigorously. There's a few examples. There's a narration of which it states that in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Sahabi says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that I and the one who takes care of the orphan will be like this in paradise. And he showed his forefinger and the middle finger joined together. Another Sahabi recalls a hadith in which he says that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was giving one of his companions advice, he said, beware of this. And he grabbed his tongue. So the gesture is far more effective than merely telling the person, you know, watch your tongue, or beware of this. So it has a lasting impact. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ansari, in fact, Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a believer is to another believer like a wall, kalbunyan. Yashuddu ba'adhu, that one part strengthens the other. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then interlocked his fingers. So these are examples of the gestures that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam observed when he was delivering his khutbah. There's also a narration of Sayyidina Hassan bin Ali, who said that, I asked my uncle in Hind, who was very good at describing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to point at something, he pointed with his entire palm. When he became surprised or astonished over matter, he turned his palm downside up. When he spoke, he struck the inside of his left thumb with the palm of his right hand. So these are all gestures of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We learn from that. That is also, you know, it creates vibrancy in the speech. And this was the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in terms of his public speaking.
Yeah, and most certainly, what can be better than the example, the practical example of the Prophet and the Master of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Master, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, as Mufti Saab explained, there are times when we keep our hands and we make certain gestures. Certain times, maybe you keep it to yourself. You got to judge the situation, and that is what will help you and guide you. Now, this is also very interesting. That might not be any hand movements. How can a pause be used effectively?
When we look at professional speakers, you'll find that they use the pause effectively. Mm. Pausing refers to speaking, stopping, and then speaking again. So building up your pace, pitch, and volume as you deliver a key sentence, then stop and hold eye contact with the audience. You may even indulge in a knowing, looking around the room, you know, depending on the point you are trying to make. And when a few moments of silence have elapsed, then you launch into your next sentence, and pausing for a few seconds before you speak, it creates some sort of a tension and it rises expectation. During your pause, the audience reach their highest level of attentiveness. So you need to use the pause confidently, effectively, strategically, and this will enhance your speech. But you shouldn't fill the pause with you know, that doesn't really help you in any way. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never used to continue speaking without pausing, as you people speak continuously. Instead, he used to speak clearly with a pause in between, and his pause was such that one who was sitting there was able to remember what he said. And on certain occasions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to repeat a person's name while delaying the answer to emphasize the need for attentiveness. Like there's a story of Sayyidina Mu'az, that he was sitting on a donkey with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "O Mu'az," and he said, "Labbaik wa sa'daik," and then they continued, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "O Mu'az," and he said, "Labbaik wa sa'daik," and he said it the third time, and then only Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Do you know what the rights of Allah is upon his servants?" And Sayyidina Mu'az said, Allah and his messenger knows best. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah's rights of his servants is that they worship him and they not ascribe partners with him. And then again, some time passed, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Mu'az, and he said, Labbaik wa sa'daik. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you know what the rights of the servants is of Allah? If they do this, they worship Allah and do not ascribe partners with him. And Sayyidina Mu'az said, Allah and his messenger knows best. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the servant's right of Allah is that he does not punish them. Now, when we look at this, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed Sayyidina Mu'az three times, but he delayed in taking the discussion further. And this was to build up that excitement, that intensity, and that desire.
Yeah, so that is very important, the pausing. You know, it shouldn't be that you're stuck, you don't know what to say, and that is why you're pausing. Maybe it can even sometimes, you know, appear as a cover-up. You're a bit stuck, you're thinking of your points. Maybe it can appear as a cover-up. But you got to be able, you got to know how to do it properly. Sometimes, you know, like you get the Quran of this up, you know, when they're pausing, sometimes they're stealing a breath here and there. You got to know how to do it. So otherwise, then you just give yourself away. Right, still speaking on the voice, right? How can one use one's voice to speak with greater vibrancy?
Yes, so use your voice to build up to something. If you're trying to excite someone about something, you can, as you describe it, gradually increase the pace and the volume of what you're saying, and thereby building an atmosphere of gradually increasing excitement. If you want them to get excited yourself. If the audience hears the excitement building in your voice, it will excite them. You need to use emphasis. If you want to emphasize the particular key point, slow down and say each word loudly, slowly, and carefully. And then you might want to repeat it. And if you are saying something that you think is important, say it like it's important. If it's a key message of your speech, do not just say it like one of the other sentences or all sentences. Say it with emphasis. Say it with conviction. Say it slowly. Say it with a deeper tone of voice. And if you're saying something you think is important, do not be afraid to repeat it. Say it once, then pause, and then say it again. And that has an impact. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say something but not explain it fully. The listeners would not entirely understand what was said. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pause and give them a chance to think about it, thus increasing the desire to learn and listen to the explanation. If you want to build tension, slowly lower your volume. gradually speak in a softer and softer voice. Bring them in. And, you know, when you do this, it's a wonderful feeling to actually see almost everyone in the audience literally leaning forward to catch your every word, to the point that where you speak loudly with passion and power, and your body and gestures are animated, then returning to a less forceful, more measured tone until you build up to make your next point. So basically, you know, you're not in one mode all the time when you're speaking. You're sort of moving to an intense, to a slower, to a faster, and like that you keep drawing in people.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab, a very beautiful explanation. Now, should the speaker show emotion while speaking?
Definitely. You know, someone said, put your heart into your talks. So one should not be afraid to let emotion show in your voice, in yourself, when you're speaking in public. What you're saying in any speech or talk should be reinforced by the way in which you say it. If you're explaining the injustice of a particular state of affairs, you will make your point more powerfully if your audience hear the anger in your voice. If you're telling a funny story, you should sound as though you're enjoying telling the story. When you tell people about something that happened to you, don't just tell them. Relive the experience. Let them see how you felt at the time. If you felt sad when someone died, let them see the sadness. If you felt happy when something good happened, let them see the joy. If you felt angry when someone did not listen to you, let them see the anger. Almost all good stories, you know, involved emotion. And Nabi Salam used the whole range of emotion in his khutubat. You know, there was moments of humor, there was moments of sadness, there was moments of happiness, there was moments of anger.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. As Mufti Saab explained, you know, you got to show that that bit of emotion. It just enhances the talk and it just grabs the attention of the people that are listening. How does one keep the audience with you while speaking? You know, sometimes you speaking, they drifting away, they gone somewhere else, they on holiday somewhere. You speaking, you trying to get through the talk and hoping something is going through. How do you get them to stay with you?
That's the challenge. That is the challenge, undoubtedly. We have, you know, people's attention span diminishing because of media. You know, they said with television, it came down to 8 minutes. And now with social media, even a minute is too long. People want to see things in 30 seconds and, you know, get on. So there's one of the public speakers who spoke about Route 350. Now, what is Route 350? That when a person is speaking, everyone goes down Route 350. The reason why it's called Route 350 is that there was some study that was done on the human mind which found that we can take in words at a rate of 500 words per minute. The human mind can process it. Sure. But when speaking, we usually speak at 150 words a minute. So the difference is 350. So when listeners switch off, they generally gone down Route 350. So while a speaker delivers his speech, the listener's thoughts can race ahead of him. And as a result, people easily get distracted by their own thoughts and surroundings and by something they did or said earlier. People often come to the masjid directly from work. They come with plans. They come with problems. They come with deadlines. They come with family worries and so on. So if the speaker is interesting and the topic is well-structured, the listener will probably be attentive. However, if the speaker's voice is dull or monotonous, the listener will quickly turn to the inner thoughts, the inner dialogue, and will get caught in that.
All right. As Mufti Saab said, it could be something very challenging. But once you learn the art of doing it, and that is how you then end up preparing your talks, keeping that in mind that you need to keep the audience gripped to you, listening to you. You don't want to be speaking and everybody's, you know, some are maybe dozing off, some are thinking about what, if it's a Jummah talk, they think about what they're going to have for Jummah, what they're going to be doing over the weekend, and then your whole talk doesn't have much of an influence on them. So therefore, it's important that you try and keep the audience with you while you are giving your talk. Now, why do people, why people stop listening or find it difficult to listen, Mufti Saab?
So maybe the voice, the speaker's voice is not audible because he's not speaking into the microphone, or the microphone is not working, so there's a difficulty in hearing. Or there may be too much noise. There's talking, there's crying children, there's sounds of fans, There's a final sound of a generator there somewhere. You know, what is going to be said sometimes is anticipated. If every week the person is speaking about the same topic and you know, oh, he's going down this route. Or sometimes it's nothing to do with the speaker or the circumstances. It's just the own person is distracted. Some major problems at home, you know, plans or achievement deadlines. So it's because of that person, himself or herself. Or it may be that the speaker's voice is dull and monotonous. Either the speaker's voice makes the listener sleep, or it's too loud and gives a headache. The speaker is talking down to his audience or shouting at them. The speaker starts with remarks that undermine his credibility, or it's maybe too complex or too basic. The speaker may lack credibility or confidence, or it may be that, you know, the place where everyone is sitting is too hot. Everyone is sweating and, you know, now they're perspiring there. Or it's too cold, that too. Or because, you know, something that the speaker says, they are continuously assessing and digesting and rejecting or accepting. They're judging the speaker. So these are the reasons why people stop listening. You know, the one needs to avoid anything that would create a hindrance, that would create a barrier in the speaker, in the audience, adjusting or taking in. So you find that many times the masjid is very crowded and sitting for a long time is uncomfortable, it's distracting. Or there may be other distractions that people continuously cause during the khutbah, such as getting in between the lines, trying to find a space, performing sunnah salah in front of the person, or having children playing in the back. So these are all, you know, human practical distractions, limitations to one's attention span, and it makes it hard for the audience to be effective listeners. And the wisdom is to take these factors into consideration when you prepare your khutbah. Some state that to keep the attention of your listeners, you must make your speech dynamic. And how do you make that? How do you make your speech dynamic? Inshallah, we'll talk about that next week.
Can't wait to listen to that. Sounds very, very interesting. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. So we've discussed a whole lot of different things today. Mufti Sahab started off with discussing the very first point. We spoke about the hand movements, you know, where should the hands be, in front, at the back, on top, in the pocket. Sometimes you might be giving a talk from, you know, you might have papers in front of you and you're holding too fast on your papers, you're scared it mustn't fall out of your hands, etc. Those are all things that you need to keep in mind. Mufti Sahab also spoke about how to use the pause effectively. Sometimes it's good to pause, you slow down, and then, you know, you maybe enforce a point that you want to try and get across. That will be very good to do. Then how to use the voice, you know, to speak with a greater vibrancy. Should you show emotion? Mufti Sahab said yes, definitely. It is found in the practical descriptions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he spoke. There were various times when he used emotion. Sometimes he smiled, sometimes there were tears in his eyes, etc. And then obviously the very important part that the last two aspects that we took a look at, how to keep the audience with you while speaking, and why do people stop listening. There's various reasons. Sometimes it might be within your control, sometimes it's not within your control. Whichever way it is, you need to try and keep that audience gripped to your talk. That brings us to the end of today's discussion, Public Speaking, Part 6.